today on Real Radio.
As a believer, every day you are wondering and thinking, not, oh no, it's been going so good, I hope nothing bad happens. Nothing bad happens to a believer. It's all in the plan of God. We have Him watching over our trials, difficulties, and perils of life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a message called Just Making Sure, Pastor Jack wants us to re-examine our Christian walk by making sure that we're not just believing in Christ, but that we also have a relationship with Him. As Jesus and His disciples were walking from the upper room Passover meal to the Garden of Gethsemane, they would have passed something called the golden vines of the temple. Now, these precious vines symbolized Israel's relationship with God, and this is where Jesus spoke of Himself as being the true vine, and we are His branches. Today, Pastor Jack continues in the book of John, chapter 15, with this truth, that if we abide in Christ and He abides in us, then you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But as we grow close to the Lord, so will our desires be more like His. Now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He's asking you to trust Him, to hand Him the keys of everything. And listen, friends, church, listen, Jesus wants to encourage us this morning. It is absolutely essential that when we hand Him the keys, we are saying to Him, I trust you with my life. Don't raise your hand, but do you trust Christ with eternity? On that moment that you're dying, do you trust Jesus to get you into heaven? Oh, yes, I do. Well, then listen, do you trust Jesus Christ today to lead you to that job or to lead you through that difficulty or to take you through this illness or whatever it might be? Dealing with your boss or your boss maybe having to deal with you? What is it? He is Lord over it all if we are real believers. We cannot look, we cannot experience Him as the true vine and the Father as the vine dresser unless we're a branch. This is something. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says, for God, that would be the vine dresser, was in Christ Jesus, that's the true vine, reconciling the world back to Himself through Christ. That's me. So God has done this, and He wants us to have a reconfirmed relationship. Simply put, is your heart hot for God? Now listen, before we move on from here, this is a very critical thing, and I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm pointing the finger at me. Jack, you've been a believer for 35 years. Are you hot-hearted for me right now? Or were there days in your previous Christian experience where you were hotter for me? Was your love more intense for me in earlier days than it is now? Number one, Christian, listen. There are seasons that we all go through in our Christianity. Thank God seasons change. This morning, it felt like fall at first and second service. Third service, it's right back to summer. Seasons change. We must have seasons change. You will never have a crop. You will never have sustainable growth in the way of food product and all without seasons changing. Your existence is predicated upon seasons changing. I understand that. Spiritually, seasons change. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But listen, do you know what should never change? It's God's will that your heart be hotter for Him today than it was this time last year, or however long you've been a Christian, today should be your hot day. Today. You say, Jack, I know, like in a book, that makes a lot of sense. I know, Jack, that in a perfect world that makes sense, but what? But you come up to me like a guy after first service and say to me after the service, hey, you know what? I need you to pray for me, man, because I'm in a lot of trials right now. Really? Like what? Well, I got arrested for doing pot, and then I got an accident, and I was in the hospital for so long that I came out hooked on morphine. So now I'm trying to deal with that. You know, those doctors really messed me up, and he's blaming everybody. And he goes, I just really And I said, well, you know what? You just really need to answer this question I'm going to ask you. He goes, yeah, sure, what is it? I go, when's the last time you read your Bible? And he goes, well, I don't read it as much as I should. Listen, my friends, anyone who gives you that answer, you can come right back at them and say, you haven't read your Bible in months at best. That's code word. Oh, I don't read as much as I should. Translation, I ain't reading it at all. Okay? So I told him, I said, listen, stop blaming the doctors and stop blaming the guy that broadsided you and stop blaming pot and stop blaming morphine. The fact of the matter is you are powerless, you're fruitless because you've decided to be like that. You need to start reading your Bible. And the guy goes, oh, Bible? like magic? I mean, can't you just like make the sign of the cross over me, Pastor? And I'll be, no. Listen, this whole thing comes about. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and I in you, something's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. Look at verse 2. As a Christian, he prunes. If you're not a Christian, he cuts away. Cut away. Look at that verse, verse 2. If you are a branch and you're not producing, Jesus says, well, that's just to be cut away. But if you are a branch producing, this is amazing. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to want to hear this, but then you are going to want to hear this. Remember how, you know, we're all Christians, right? Okay, well, watch this. Have you ever had a rough day? Have you ever had a rough week? Have you ever had a rough couple of months or a rough few years? Have you ever had this thought in your mind, God, what are you doing? If he were to answer you back, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. What are you doing? I'm just complaining about what you want to do. As a believer in this life, God does this. All those Christians at Calvary Chapel, they all raise their hands. They're all so productive. They're so fruitful as believers. That's fantastic. And as you're standing there in your fruity glory of producing all this amazing spiritual stuff, Jesus comes out of the woodshed and he's got an axe. And he's walking toward you with a smile on his face. And he's sharpening the axe. And he's coming up, Jack, dude, how are you? Yeah, I'm good, Lord, how are you? I'm fantastic, I'm so blessed, and I got word from my father, he's really happy. Why? Because you know what? You've been producing fruit in your life. This is awesome. You've been hanging out with me. You've been in the Word. We've been in conversation called prayer. You've been talking with God's people, your brothers and sisters. Life's happening. I'm using you. This is fantastic. So it's good, right? Oh, it's great. Okay, good. Because I thought that axe there was for me for a moment. And he goes, oh, actually, it is for you. And whack, he cuts off a branch. Okay, good. Because I thought that axe there was for me for a moment. And he goes, oh, actually, it is for you. And whack, he cuts off a branch here and a branch there and a branch over here. And imagine if your tree at home sees you coming, if it had a mouth and it saw you coming and it starts thinking, haven't I been a good tree to you? I've given you avocados every year. What's the deal? Why are you doing this? Well, because you do give avocados. So why can't we just leave it alone like this? Because you know what? You're not going to be happy if you just keep producing the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, you could be a tree like it's 10 years old, but with only 1 year of actual volume of production that you just repeat every year. How about having 10 years of actual experience to 10 years of your actual walk? And I'm going to trim this off because wherever I trim this, it's going to be bloody. Oh, man, there's going to be sap gushing everywhere. But listen, when you get healed up, you know what happens? You sprout out more and you produce more. And these things are called trials and tribulations of life. And the Christian who goes through trials and tribulations understands that this is how I'm going to grow. You say, well, God, I know that that's what your Bible says, but can't I grow without those things? I've already tried. It doesn't work. The Bible says it's through much difficulty and tribulation that we inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us in the book of James that it's through all of these fiery trials that our faith is confirmed. Now, right now, listen, you may or may not realize this, But there is a division taking place in this church right here, right now. Because some of you are saying, I'm not interested in that. I want it easy. Just know this, you are flirting with a potential disaster because a non-believing branch says, just keep me in a pot, indoors, near the window, with the air conditioning on, perfect, please, thank you very much. And there's another tree outside that's in the heat, in the cold, in the rain, in the wind, dealing with bugs, dealing with kids carving their names into it, and this thing's hanging in there. And the Christian branch says, watch this, everybody, because this is how it feels. Jesus, I know how I should answer this. I know the answer. Just like that guy next door knows the answer, the guy that's in the potted plant guy. The potted plant guy wants it easy. Honestly, Lord, I want it easy, but I know that that doesn't work. And I know that in life there's hardships. So, with all the faith I have, which ain't much, I'm saying to you, Lord, here I am. Take my life. Graft me in. Be my God. I surrender to your plan. And this is how it is. Watch this. It looks like this. Lord, I abide. And I have to tell you, this is how I live. And this is how you live. As a believer, every day you are wondering and thinking, not, oh no, it's been going so good, I hope nothing bad happens. Nothing bad happens to a believer. It's all in the plan of God. We have him watching over our trials, difficulties, and perils of life. A non-believer doesn't. They are in the same problems we have, but they have no hope. We've got all the promises of God. And he says, cheer up, Jack, I'm going to take you through this. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go. And all along the way, he's whispering sweet somethings in our ear, all along the way. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Remember this. Thank you, Lord. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. That's why we're going through this right now. Thank you, Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. Remember, you are as clean and pure as the driven snow in my sight. You're going to make it through this. Remember, this is only the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk you through the other side. How does this happen in our lives? Only by abiding. Take up the dwelling to live in the place. What happens? This is what happens. He prunes us so that we might bring forth more fruit. You and I, the true believer in this room today, will never be happy with little fruit. You know what? Listen, for some of you, I pray the light bulb just comes on and just blows your mind today. That for some of you, you've been battling back and forth. Am I a believer or not? Am I a Christian? I mean, my goodness, I love God, but I don't want to love him more. I don't love him enough, and I want to serve him, but I really don't even hardly serve him at all. And you got this strange thing going on in your life. And Jesus is saying to you today, hey, you've invited me into your life to take control of your life, to be the Lord of your life. I prune. I'm the Lord. Part of my lordship stuff is pruning. And so I'm going to prune this because I'm cutting this part off. Watch. It produced fruit, God-glorifying fruit, for 6 months, for a year, for 10 years, for 3 months. Doesn't matter. It was fantastic, Jack. So, Lord, can it just stay? No, because you won't be happy. And I know that by the power of my spirit, you are yielding to my spirit, Jack. You're leaning on my Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. I've heard your call to grow closer to me and deeper. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut off what once produced, because if we cut it in a certain way, it's going to produce more. And you almost fearfully but joyfully receive that. and your life grows and develops. And the true believer in this room today says, almost with a little bit of a wince, Lord, do it. I'm 100% at your mercy. Prune away. Because I would rather be a stump. Have you ever seen a rose at the end of the season? A rose bush that's been trimmed? It looks like Satan made it. I mean, a rose bush looks horrific when it's been cut back. It's just a gnarly bump. And you say, man, what'd you do to your rose bush? I pruned it. Well, what are you, stupid? It looked great. What did you do to it? I've had that rose bush for 10 years. Just watch. Come back in the spring and the summer. You're going to think it's better than this year. Why? Because I just pruned it. And God does that to us. Listen, you can find out this on the web, like I did. Northern California, you can find out how wine growers grow grapes. I didn't know this. This is amazing. In light of John 15, keep this in mind. A vine dresser will examine his fruit, his vines that he's got growing. And he'll look, and he knows his vines. And so he looks and he sees a branch, and he knows that this particular branch produced last year. This year it's not producing so much. Do you know what they do? See, you're going to think, oh, they just cut it off. Not so fast. You know what they do? They wind up taking the branch, and they pull up the branch, and they tie it off to some sort of a support. Why? Because they said when it's not producing, then there must be a nutrient flow problem. It's not getting the energy that it should. So I'll make sure that the pathway is open and right. So I'll prop it up. Has God ever propped you up? And next step, you know what he does? Next step, he takes water and he washes the branch and the leaves on the branch with water by hand. Why? Because it stimulates growth within the branch. Doesn't the Bible say in Ephesians, and Jesus says it here, now you are clean by the word that I've spoken to you. Remember Peter? He's so great. He's so great to show us what we shouldn't be doing. Peter's the best. Everybody's getting their feet washed, right, in the upper room, and Jesus comes to Peter, and Peter goes, you're not washing my feet. Can you imagine Peter telling God, not me, sorry. I mean, I know you're Lord, but no. Jesus says, well, you know, Peter, it's so great. If I don't wash your feet, then you have no relationship with me at all. And Peter goes, he's so great. The pendulum goes from that end to that end. He goes, oh, not only wash my feet, but my whole body, my head and everything. Jesus says, calm down. If your feet are washed, it's good because you are already clean by the word I've spoken to you. The Bible, the word of God. Do you have something going on in your life? And you've tried Nicorette and you've tried detoxing this and you've tried jogging and you've tried plucking your eye out and you've tried, listen, surrender to the power of God. And know this, Jesus wants to abide with you and you to abide with him. Think of it. Oh, it's so hard. Not really. Just take him with you. He's already with you anyway. You know, he was here when you showed up, but he was also with you in the car on the way here. Okay, he was listening. Yeah, he was. He was with you when you woke up this morning. And he'll be with you when you leave here today. You can't escape him. He knows. And so if you begin to realize, Jesus is with me. I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me. That's going to change your entire lifestyle. You don't have to get beat up by the church elders, or we don't have to crucify you in the parking lot or take the Ten Commandments and slap them between your ears like that. Why? What is that? That's nuts. You have the opportunity to love God. You say, now here's the thing, watch this. In fact, well, somebody shout out if you agree with this, just because. In my life, I'll say, Lord, I love you. This is exactly what happens. And this is why I'm sharing it, because this is what gave birth to this message. Lord, I love you. God, I feel like a jerk because I say that I love you. As soon as it comes out of my mouth, I know I need to love you more. I don't love you enough. In fact, I'm pretty ashamed at how pathetically I love you. So then I go to John 15 this week, and I read verse 1, and I'm reminded, oh my goodness, I know a secret weapon, an anti-jack device. It's John 15. It's abiding. So here's what you do. Hi, Lord, I'm back again. Here's the deal. And I can only say this to you because you're the only one who understands. If I were to tell Lisa, my wife, I love you, but I don't love you enough. In fact, when I think about it, I'm pretty ashamed of how little I do love you. That's not going to go over well. Right? I'm crazy about you, but I could be more crazy about you. That doesn't work with humans. But when you tell God, God, I love you, I'm ashamed about how little I love you, but I'm asking you to put more love for you in my heart. Amen. I want to love you more. I want to hang out with you more. I want to talk to you more in prayer. That's what talking to God is, prayer. We make such a big deal of prayer. Let's pray. Really, it's that bad? I'm going to go to a prayer meeting. Why? What happened? Isn't it terrible? It's communication. The believer goes, prayer meeting or not, I talk to God. We just talk to God. You could be at work talking to God. You're driving on the freeway, you're talking to God. And this is a great time to be alive. You can have like Bluetooth. Listen, I got saved back in the days when you were talking to God and you're driving, and Lord, you know, God, you're awesome. And people would go, guy's sick. He's sick. Pull him over. There was none of that technology. Nowadays, you can get away with anything. You can talk to God all the way to work, and people think you're on your cell phone. You're talking to God. It's just prayer. God bless my family. Lord, just heal America. Lord, do something mighty in my church. On and on it goes. But a believer understands that God wants this personal. Also this. He says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Boy, isn't that true? Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want my life to make a difference. And Jesus is saying, okay, this is great. This is fantastic. Watch this. I'm going to use you. All you need to do is stay with me. Just stay with me. It takes no effort. Stay with me. You don't have to jump through the hoops. Stay with me. There's no performance on your part. Stay with me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Just Making Sure. Thanks for listening. And we can be confident in this truth, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Before I let you go, reallifewithjackhibbs.org is our website, and that's where you can pick up the New King James Version of the One-Year Bible. Now, this best-selling One-Year Bible helps you read through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day. The One-Year Bible divides God's Word into daily readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, creating an achievable and unforgettable devotional experience. Millions of people have benefited from reading through God's entire Word by using this One-Year Bible, me included, and you can too. This best-selling daily reading Bible divides the text into 365 sections so you can read through the entire Bible in one unforgettable year. That's as little as 15 minutes a day, by the way. I did it. I think you can do it too. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the New King James Version of the One-Year Bible. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.